This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Podcast of audio reading service volunteers reading the Journal Gazette is provided by the Allen County Public Library for the sight and print impaired and made available with the permission and cooperation of the Journal Gazette.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Nancy with
John.
And for the next 2 hours, we will be reading selections from the Monday, September 29th, Fort Wayne Journal Gazette, copyright 2025. We'll begin with news for the first hour and then take a short break. When we come back from the break, we'll read obituaries and then a number of features from the living section. After that, we'll read from the perspective section, including the letters to the editor and editorials. After editorials, we'll read the TV listings, sports, and birthday announcements. The headlines from the front page of the Monday, September 29th Journal Gazette are 4 dead in Michigan church shooting, massive corn dog recall is issued, Russian drone missile attack on Ukraine kills 4, wounds 10. Shutdown standoff deepens ahead of White House meeting. Now here's John with the first Larkle article.
This is Dateline Grand Blanc Township, Michigan. 4 dead in Michigan church shooting. Gunman rams chapel with truck, sets it ablaze after attack. At least 4 people were killed and 8 injured when a gunman in a pickup truck smashed through the doors of a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Chapel in Michigan during a Sunday service attended by hundreds, opened fire, and set the building ablaze. Police shot and killed the suspect, authorities said. The attack occurred at about 10:25 a.m., The gunman got out of the 4-door pickup with 2 American flags in the truck and started shooting. Police Chief William Rennie told reporters he apparently used gas to start the fire and also had explosive devices, but it wasn't clear if he used them, said James Deere of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Authorities identified the shooter as Thomas Jacob Sanford, age 40, of the neighboring small town of Burton. The FBI is leading the investigation and considered it an act of targeted violence, said Reuben Coleman, a special agent in charge of the Bureau. Officers responded to a 911 call and were at the church within 30 seconds and killed the shooter about 8 minutes later, Rennie said. After the suspect left the church, 2 officers pursued him and engaged in gunfire, the chief said. Rennie said people inside the church during the attack were shielding children and moving them to safety. Flames and smoke could be seen pouring from the large church for hours before the blaze was put out. The bodies of 2 of the victims were found as authorities searched the debris, Rennie said. He said authorities had yet to make it through the entire church, that more victims could be found. One of the wounded people was in critical condition Sunday evening, and the 7 others were stable. Rennie said some people were unaccounted for, but he didn't have an exact number. Michigan State Police Lieutenant Kim Vetter said bomb threats were made at other churches in the same area after officers shot and killed Sanford. No bombs were found, and police were investigating the threats. Investigators were searching Sanford's residence, but authorities did not say what they found or provide any additional details about him, including whether he was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, widely known as the Mormon Church. Sanford served in the Marines from June of 2004 through June of 2008, working as an automotive mechanic and vehicle recovery operator, according to military records obtained by the Detroit News. He was deployed to Iraq from August 2007 through March 2008 and had the rank of sergeant. It was the latest of many shooting attacks on houses of worships in the U.S. over the past 20 years, including one in August that killed two children during Mass at the Church of the Annunciation in Minneapolis. It also was the second mass shooting in the U.S. in less than 24 hours. On Saturday night, a man in a boat opened fire on a crowd in Southport, North Carolina, killing three and injuring five. President Donald Trump said in a social media post that he was briefed on the Michigan shooting and applauded the FBI for its response. Local authorities said the FBI was sending 100 agents to Grand Blanc Township, a community of roughly 40,000 people outside Flint. Pray for the victims and their families. This epidemic of violence in our country must end immediately, Trump wrote. The church building, circled by a parking lot and a large lawn, is near residential areas and a Jehovah Witness church. Brad Sheenman, whose home is about 400 yards from the church, said that he and his daughters heard two rounds of four or five shots around 10:30 a.m. Then we really didn't hear anything for a while before they left their homes to see what was going on. When striking nurses at nearby Henry Ford Genesee Hospital heard about the shooting, some left the picket line and ran the short distance to the church to help first responders. Teamsters Local 332 President Dan Glass said, "Human lives matter more than our labor disputes," Glass said. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer said in a statement that her heart was breaking for the community. "Violence anywhere, especially in a place of worship, is unacceptable," she said. The impact spread quickly to neighboring communities, including the small city that shares a name with the township. There are two photographs attending this article, and the first is an image taken from a video showing massive flames and smoke rising from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc Township, which is about 50 miles north of Detroit. And the second photograph is of the apparent pickup truck that the shooter utilized. It has two American flags prominently displayed in the bed of the truck, and there accompanying this is a firefighter, hose across his shoulder, attacking the flames at the church. And both of these pictures are just enveloped in smoke.
Massive corn dog recall is issued. 58 million pounds of product may have wood pieces in batter by the Associated Press, Dateline, New York. About 58 million pounds of corn dogs and other sausage on a stick products are being recalled across the U.S. because pieces of wood may be embedded in the batter, with several consumers reporting injuries to date. According to a Saturday notice published by the Agriculture Department's Food Safety and Inspection Service, the recall covers select State Fair corn dogs on a stick and Jimmy Dean pancakes and sausage on a stick products from Texas-based Hillshire Brands, which is a subsidiary of Tyson Foods. The contamination problem was discovered after Hillshire received multiple consumer complaints, the service notes, five of which involved injuries. The company later determined that a limited number of these products included extraneous pieces of wooden stick within the batter. Tyson said in a corresponding announcement, adding that it opted to initiate a recall out of an abundance of caution. The recalled corn dogs and sausage on a stick goods were produced between March 17th and as recently Friday, per Saturday's recall notices. Tyson, which is headquartered in Arkansas, says the issue was isolated to one facility located in Haltom City, Texas. FSIS is worried that some of these products may be in consumers' refrigerators and freezers in households across the U.S., as well as some schools and other institutions. In addition to being sold online and to retailers nationwide, the agency noted Saturday these products were also sold to school districts and Defense Department facilities. Consumers in possession of the now recalled State Fair corn dogs on a stick and Jimmy Dean pancakes and sausage on a stick are urged to throw them away or return them. To determine which corn dogs and other sausage goods are subject to this recall, consumers should check the product's name, use-by dates, and other identifying information published online by the FSIS and Tyson. The products being recalled should also have an establishment number of EST-582 or P-894 printed on the packaging. It's unclear if consumers who purchase these now recalled products will be eligible for a refund. The Associated Press reached out to contacts for Hillshire Brands and Tyson for further information Sunday. Foreign object contamination is one of the top reasons for food recalls in the U.S. Beyond plastic, metal fragments, bits of bugs, and more extraneous materials have prompted recalls by making their way into packaged goods.
Shutdown standoff deepens ahead of White House meeting, Associated Press article, Dateline Washington. Top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer and Republican Majority Leader John Thune are digging ahead of this week's deadline to keep the government open, showing little evidence of budging, even as both sides have agreed to meet with President Donald Trump at the White House today. Republicans say Democrats need to help them pass a simple extension of government funding by Tuesday night to avoid a shutdown, and they will not agree to negotiate until after its approval. Democrats say they want immediate talks on health care, and they are willing to shut down the government if they don't get concessions. The ball is in their court, Thune, a Republican from South Dakota, said. There is a bill sitting at the desk in the Senate right now. We could pick it up today and pass it, and that has been passed by the House and will be signed into law by the president to keep the government open. Schumer, Democrat from New York, said it's on the same program, whether it's up to them, whether Republicans will negotiate when the two sides meet today. God forbid the Republicans shut the government down, Schumer said. The American people will know it's on their back. The Senate standoff is just the latest in annual disagreements over funding, but hopes are dimming for a quick resolution. Democrats have suggested they are more willing than ever to allow a shutdown as they face demands from their base voters to fight harder against Trump and the Republican-led Congress. Some even argue that a shutdown may not make much difference because Trump has slashed so many government jobs already. We're hearing from the American people that they need help on health care, Schumer said. And as for those massive layoffs, guess what? Simple, one-sentence answer. They're doing it anyway. The Senate is expected to vote on the House-passed bill to extend government funding on Tuesday ahead of the 12:01 a.m. Wednesday deadline to avert a shutdown. The bill would keep the government open for another 7 weeks while Congress finishes its annual spending bills. Republicans will likely need at least 8 Democrats to approve a short-term fix, as Republicans Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky is expected to vote against it. Majority Republicans hold 53 seats, and they need 60 votes to end a filibuster and pass the legislation. Schumer said Democrats need a serious negotiation at the White House meeting with Trump.
The front page has a large photograph that highlights the North Side neighborhood and celebrating 50 years of activity in that neighborhood. And the photograph is of the park area. That in the background, we have a green overview that is very park-like. It's a bit out of focus because the photograph brings you right into the performers who are Addison Egan. She performed on Sunday evening along with Jonah Baker during the Lakeside Fall Concert at Lakeside Park. The concert was part of the Northside Neighborhood 50th Anniversary Celebration. And the photograph of Addison Egan and Jonah Baker shows them holding their respective instruments, singing into a pair of mic stands. And I trust that the people who attended this concert were very happy with it.
Russian drone missile attack on Ukraine kills 4, wounds 10, by the Associated Press, Dateline Kiev, Ukraine. Russia unleashed a barrage of drones and missiles on Ukraine overnight into Sunday, killing at least 4 people, with Kiev suffering the heaviest assault. It was the first major bombardment since an air attack on Ukraine's capital left at least 21 people dead last month. Separately, U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance said the U.S. was considering selling Ukraine Tomahawk cruise missiles. Timur Chachenko, head of Kiev City Administration, confirmed Sunday's casualties via telegram and said that 10 others were wounded in the attack, which targeted civilian areas across the city. A 12-year-old girl was among the dead. Thick black smoke could be seen rising from a blast near the city center. The Russians have restarted the child death counter, Chachenko wrote on Telegram. Russia fired a total of 595 exploding drones and decoys and 48 missiles, Ukraine's Air Force said Sunday. Of those air defenses shot down or jammed 566 drones and 45 missiles. Besides Kiev, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said that the bombardment targeted the regions of Zaporizhzhia, Khmelnytskyi, Sumy, Mykolaiv, Chernihiv, and Odessa. Zelensky wrote on X that at least 40 people were wounded across the country. Later, Ukraine's Interior Ministry said the number of the wounded rose to 70, with more than 100 civilian objects damaged. Zaporizhzhia's regional head, Ivan Fedorov, said that 3 children were among the 27 wounded in the region, adding that more than 24 buildings were damaged in the capital, which that bears the same name. This vile attack came virtually at the close of UN General Assembly week, and this is exactly how Russia declares its true position. Moscow wants to keep fighting and killing, and it deserves the toughest pressure from the world, Zelensky wrote. Speaking to Fox News in an interview taped Friday, Vance said the U.S. administration was reviewing a request by the Ukrainian president for Tomahawk cruise missiles. Tomahawks have a range of about 1,000 miles, which would put Moscow within the range of Ukraine's forces. It's something that the president is going to make the final determination on. I know that we're reviewing that request. We're also reviewing a number of other requests, Vance said. The strikes that began overnight and continued after dawn on Sunday also targeted residential buildings, civilian infrastructure, a medical facility, and a kindergarten, according to Kiev Mayor Vitaly Klitschko, who also said that the damage was reported at more than 20 locations across the capital. At Kiev's central train station, passengers arrived to the crackle of anti-aircraft gunfire and the low buzz of attack drones. Mostly women, they waited in a platform underpass until the air raid alert ended. Parents checked the news on their phones while children played online games. The sky has turned black again, said one woman at the station who gave only her first name, Erica. It's happening a lot. Ilona Kovalenko, a 38-year-old resident of a 5-story building struck in Kiev's Solomianskyi district said that she woke up because of the explosion, which shattered windows. A neighbor kept knocking on our door. She was completely covered in blood and shouting, "Help! Save my daughter," said Kovalenko, who fled the building with her grandmother after the strike. Alexandra, the neighbor's daughter, was the 12-year-old girl killed in the attack. "Sadly, she died on the spot," Kovalenko said. "We're in shock, to be honest." Another multi-story residential building was heavily damaged by the attack. Emergency services personnel used power saws to clear the debris. Piles of glass littered nearby sidewalks as building residents, some looking shaken, sat on benches. "There are no warehouses or plants here. We are sure that nothing would happen, but it hit us here," Vladimir, a retired Kiev resident, who only gave his first name, said at the site of a missile strike. The Kremlin has repeatedly claimed that Russia's military only strikes military targets. Russian officials didn't immediately comment on the latest attacks. The assault also triggered military responses in neighboring Poland, where fighter jets were deployed early Sunday as Russia struck targets in western Ukraine, according to the Polish Armed Forces. Polish military officials characterized these defensive measures as preventative.
Ohio motorcyclist killed in three-vehicle crash. A motorcyclist died Sunday in a crash that involved two other vehicles on Ohio 637, the Ohio State Highway Patrol said. Troopers were called about 11:40 a.m. to the crash near the intersection of Ohio 637 and Paulding County Road 138, a news release said. Lance M. Bolenbaugh, 48, of Bryan, was later pronounced dead. The investigation shows 17-year-old Grady K. Barton of Oakwood was driving a 2003 Chevrolet Silverado north on Ohio 637 behind a 2016 Toyota RAV4 driven by Maricela Soto Vasquez, 31, of Paulding. Vasquez was slowing as she was preparing to turn left onto County Road 138, the news release said. Barton reportedly swerved to the left to avoid striking the RAV4, and he then sideswiped the vehicle and drove into the southbound lane. Vasquez's vehicle crashed head-on into the 2012 Harley-Davidson Street Glide 103 driven by Bolenbaugh, who was traveling south, the news release said. Bolenbaugh was pronounced dead at the scene. Barton had minor injuries, and Vasquez was not injured, the news release said. The Ohio State Highway Patrol would like to remind motorists to never drive distracted and always keep a safe distance from the vehicle ahead of you, the agency said. The State Patrol was assisted by the Paulding Sheriff's Office, Emergency Medical Services, and Fire.
Latter-day Saints say oldest leader, age 101, dead. This is Dateline Salt Lake City. It's an Associated Press article. Russell M. Nelson, the oldest ever president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, died Saturday night at the age of 101, church officials announced. Nelson died at his home in Salt Lake City, the church announced. Nelson, a former heart surgeon, spent 4 decades in the highest levels of church leadership. After he was selected in 1984 to join a top church governing body called the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. He ascended to the presidency in January 2018 when Thomas S. Monson died, and in 2024 became the first president of the faith to hit the century mark. The next president of the faith, known widely as the Mormon Church, was not immediately named, but is expected to be Dalen H. Oaks, per church protocol. He is the next longest tenured member of the church's governing quorum of the 12 apostles. Senator Mike Lee of Utah posted a warm tribute to Nelson on social media shortly after the announcement. "For as long as I've known him, he has exuded, and for me, he's come to personify the kind of faith, humility, and quiet confidence that tends to be the constant companion of a devoted servant and follower of Jesus Christ, Lee wrote. The former heart surgeon had a vibrant and transformative tenure, especially in 2018, his first year, when he made a surprising announcement calling on people to stop using the shorthand names Mormon and LDS as substitutes for the full name of the religion, a sharp shift after previous church leaders spent millions to promote the moniker over decades. Nelson also made headlines the next year when he repealed rules that banned baptism for children of gay parents and labeled same-sex couples as sinners eligible for expulsion. Those 2015 policies had generated widespread backlash. But even though Nelson's administration was gentler and more welcoming to LGBTQ plus people than those of previous presidents, the church stance on same-sex marriage didn't change. His administration also sharpened rules limiting the participation of members who pursue gender-affirming medical procedures or change their names, pronouns, or how they dress, leading to criticism that it would marginalize transgender members. Nelson said one of the top counselors described their approach to LGBTQ plus members as trying to balance the love of God and the law of the Lord. Presidents of the Utah-based faith are considered prophets who lead the church through revelation from God in collaboration with two top counselors and members of the Quorum of 12. Nelson was known for leading the church through the COVID-19 pandemic and serving the faith's century-long ties with the Boys Scouts of America, creating the church's own youth program that also could serve the more than half of its 17 million members who live outside the U.S. and Canada. The disassociation came after the Boy Scouts of America decided to allow LGBTQ plus youth members and adult volunteers to join. Sunday services and accelerated a long-running push to build more temples, dotting the world with faith's lavish houses of worship, despite resistance in some parts of the U.S. He also forged a formal partnership with the NAACP. Until 1978, the church banned black men from the lay priesthood.
Trump's autism comments evoke anger and hope. By Laura Unger of the Associated Press. An Indiana woman with an autistic son says President Donald Trump was blaming moms when he made unfounded claims that taking Tylenol while pregnant causes autism. A Kentucky woman diagnosed with the condition as an adult thought Trump was villainizing autism by describing it as a horrible, horrible crisis. A Massachusetts man whose twin boys have profound autism found the Republican president's words hopeful because it was the first time the father had seen autism discussed at the highest levels of government. Recent comments about autism by the Republican president and others in his administration are rippling through the United States, stirring up a wide range of views and feelings among autistic people and their families. Some welcome the renewed focus and pledges of research money for the complex developmental condition. Others are outraged by what they consider the blaming, shaming, and spreading claims not grounded in science. On Monday, Trump repeatedly warned pregnant women not to take Tylenol, known by the generic name acetaminophen, and he fueled discredited claims about autism and vaccines. Some studies have raised the possibility that taking acetaminophen in pregnancy might be associated with a risk of autism. Many others, however, have not found a connection, and no causal link has been proved. Meantime, scientists stress that concerns that vaccines could be linked to autism have been long debunked. A fraudulent study claiming a link between the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine was later retracted by the journal that published it. Science has shown autism is mostly rooted in genetics. Dr. Noah Sterling, an OBGYN, said Trump's comments, particularly about Tylenol, touched a nerve for many patients of young autistic children. There's this kind of narrative that you have to be careful of absolutely everything you do in pregnancy, and if you eat the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, you're going to irreparably harm your baby, she said. So the Tylenol just plays directly into this fear that I've taken something that has caused this condition in my child. Danny Derner, who has a four-year-old autistic son, said it's really disappointing that women are being blamed. I personally did not take Tylenol during my pregnancy, said Derner of Dripping Springs, Texas. But she said some women might not have a choice. Some women said that the blaming was reminiscent of the disproven mid-20th century theory that emotionally cold refrigerator mothers, end quote, caused autism. When I heard that he said acetaminophen was the cause, I was a little scared and a little sad because as a mom of a child with autism, I felt that maybe I was being blamed for that, said Rachel Deaton of Fishers, Indiana, who has a 22-year-old autistic son. We really don't know what causes autism. Kelly Sue Milano of Fullerton, California, who has an autistic son, added, a lot of responsibility and at times criticism is placed on mothers, I think in a really unbalanced and unfair way. Some autistic people recoiled at the notion that autism is something to cure. It is part of who we are, said Danny Bauman, CEO of Dannymation Entertainment and cast member of Love on the Spectrum. My mom never took Tylenol while she was pregnant with me or my sister. My dad has autism. My sister has autism. I have autism. Katie Thurman, a legal assistant in Lexington, Kentucky, who was diagnosed with autism as an adult, grew angry at the concept of eradicating autism. There are several crises going on in this country. People being autistic is not one of them, Thurman said. Others were encouraged by attention on the developmental disorder. We need a voice at the table, and we have to do something, said Matt Murphy of Ayer, Massachusetts, who has twin 8-year-old boys with profound autism. That's the hopeful thing I take out of this. Finally, the top level of government is talking about this. He said people with profound autism will need lifetime support, and federal and state governments will need to take action in many areas, including education and housing. Murphy is glad to see federal money going towards research into autism's causes.
And now news briefs from around our nation and the world. Generals, admirals to hear Trump speak. Dateline Washington. President Donald Trump will speak a hastily called meeting of top military leaders on Tuesday, according to a White House official. Hundreds of generals and admirals, senior commanders of the one-star rank or higher, and their top advisors have been summoned by the Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth from all over the world to the Marine Corps base in Quantico, Virginia, with little notice. The White House official was not authorized to discuss the president's plans before a public announcement about his attendance and spoke on condition of anonymity. Trump told NBC News in an interview Sunday that they will be talking about how well we're doing militarily, talking about being in great shape, talking a lot about the good, positive things. News about the meeting broke Thursday, and no reason was initially provided for the unusual gathering. New York mayor drops election campaign. New York City Mayor Eric Adams ended his struggling re-election campaign Sunday, an acknowledgement that he could no longer be a credible contender after a year of scandal and political turmoil. In a video released on social media, Adams spoke proudly on his tenure as mayor, but he said his now-dismissed federal corruption case left voters wary of him, and constant media speculation about his future made it impossible to raise enough money to run a serious campaign. Missouri governor signs redistricting plan. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe signed a new U.S. House map into law Sunday as part of President Donald Trump's plan to try to hold on to the narrow Republican majority in next year's congressional election. Kehoe's signature puts the revised districts into state law with a goal of helping Republicans win one additional seat. It may not be the final action. Opponents are pursuing a referendum petition that, if successful, would force a statewide vote on the new map. They also have brought several lawsuits against it. Trump to send soldiers to Portland, Oregon. President Donald Trump said Saturday that he will send troops to Portland, authorizing full force if necessary to handle domestic terrorists as he expands his deployments to more American cities. Oregon Democrat Governor Tina Kotek responded by saying Trump is abusing his authority by ordering troops into a city that she said is doing just fine on its own. UN imposes Iran snapback sanctions. The United Nations reimposed sanctions on Iran early Sunday over its nuclear program, further squeezing the Islamic Republic. The sanctions will again freeze Iranian assets abroad, halt arms deals with Tehran, and penalize any development of Iran's ballistic missile program, among other measures. It came via a mechanism known as snapback, included in Iran's 2015 nuclear deal with world powers, and comes as Iran's economy already is reeling. And finally, American released from Afghan prison. The Taliban on Sunday freed a U.S. citizen from an Afghan prison weeks after they said they had reached an agreement with U.S. envoys on a prisoner exchange as part of an effort to normalize relations. The deputy spokesperson for the Taliban Foreign Ministry, Zaya Ahmed Takal, identified the man as Amir Amiri. He did not say when Amiri was detained, why, or where.
India death toll climbs to 40 after political rally stampede. This is Dateline New Delhi. The death toll after a stampede at a political rally for a popular Indian actor and politician in the southern state of Tamil Nadu has climbed to 40, the state health minister said Sunday, as medics treated at least 124 injured in hospitals. Ma Subramanian told the Associated Press that 36 victims were dead by the time they were taken to the hospital on Saturday night, and four more died later. He said the injured were largely stable. The dead included 9 children, Subramanian said. Tens of thousands of people gathered in the district of Karur on Saturday to attend the rally by Joseph Vijay Chandra Sekhar, popular and professionally known as Vijay, amid sweltering heat. Vijay is one of Tamil Nadu's most successful actors and is running for office in state elections scheduled to be held in early 2026. In southern Indian states, particularly Tamil Nadu, some film stars have larger-than-life status rooted in the ancient Tamil culture of hero worship. Many have become successful politicians, and some have even been given divine status. S. Sabisan, a local resident who was at the rally, said Vijay was supposed to address the rally around noon but arrived more than 6 hours late. He said by that time a large crowd had choked the roads. A lot of barricades and ropes were placed around the venue for crowd management, Sabisan said, adding that the crowd became so large that nobody could control it. Multiple people fainted as he addressed the rally. Vijay halted the speech and called in an ambulance to help them, said Sabisan, a 42-year-old textile businessman. R. Rajendrayan, a lawyer in Karur, who witnessed the rally and subsequent accident, said at one point, Vijay threw water bottles into the crowd from atop his campaign vehicle. When he decided to leave and his vehicle started moving, commotion broke out as hundreds of his fans and supporters chased his vehicle, Rajendran said. That is what led to the stampede. Subramanian, the minister, said there was indiscipline at the rally. The government has announced a probe led by a former judge who will submit a report in a month, he said. Tamil Nadu Chief Minister M.K. Stalin has announced over $11,000 each to the families of the dead. Vijay retired from acting in 2024 and launched his own political party, Tamil Langa Vetri Kazhangang. He has drawn massive crowds to his public meetings. Hours after the accident, Vijay offered his condolences. My heart is shattered, he posted on X. I am writhing in unbearable, indescribable pain and sorrow that words cannot express. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi said the unfortunate incident was deeply saddening. Stampedes are relatively common in India when large crowds gather. In January, at least 30 people were killed as tens of thousands of Hindus rushed to bathe in the sacred river during the Maha Kumbh festival, the world's largest religious gathering.
Typhoon hits Vietnam hard as thousands flee, by the Associated Press, Dateline, Hanoi, Vietnam. Vietnam evacuated thousands of people from its central and northern provinces Sunday as Typhoon Bualoi raced toward the country faster than expected and made landfall in the early hours this morning. The storm came ashore in northern coastal province Ha Tinh, and forecasters said it would move inland before weakening as it pushed northwest toward the hilly regions of Ha Tinh and neighboring Nghệ An. Bualoi has left at least 20 people dead in the central Philippines since Friday, mostly from drownings and falling trees, and knocked out power in several towns and cities, officials said. It forced about 23,000 families to evacuate to more than 1,400 emergency shelters. In Vietnam, the typhoon was expected to bring winds of up to 83 miles per hour, storm surges of more than 3.2 feet, and heavy rains that could trigger flash floods and landslides. State media reported that more than 347,000 families had lost power because of the storm. Strong gusts ripped off corrugated iron roofs along the highway and toppled concrete pillars. In Phong Nha commune, about 28 miles from Dong Hoi, residents described terrible gusts of wind and pounding rain. No one dares to go out, said Lei Hung, a resident told state media VN Express. Authorities grounded fishing boats in the northern and central regions and ordered evacuations. State media reported coastal city Da Nang planned to relocate more than 210,000 people, while Hue, to its northern north, prepared to move more than 32,000 coastal residents to safer grounds. The Civil Aviation Authority said operations were suspended at four coastal airports, including Da Nang International Airport, with several flights rescheduled. Heavy rains have been drenched central provinces since Saturday night. In Hue, floods swamped low-lying streets, storms ripped off roofs, and at least one person was reported missing after being swept away by floodwaters. In neighboring Quang Tri province, a fishing boat sank and another was stranded while seeking shelter. Nine people have been rescued while efforts were underway to reach two others at sea, state media said. A 16-year-old was also killed Sunday in the province by electrocution during the heavy rain and strong winds. He was traveling with a friend on a village road when the accident happened. The storm is likely to move slowly, bringing longer periods of wind and rain and raising threats of damage and flooding, said Dr. Huang Lam, deputy director of the National Center for Hydrometeorological Forecasting, according to a government newspaper. Forecasters warned of a more heavy rain through Wednesday, raising risks of flooding and landslides in northern and central provinces.
Ceasefire deal in works as Gaza toll tops 66,000. Associated Press article, Dateline Tel Aviv, Israel. On the eve of meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Sunday that Israel is working on a new ceasefire plan with the White House, but details are still being sorted out. Netanyahu has come under heavy international pressure to end the war, especially during the ongoing offensive in Gaza City. The death toll in the Israeli-Hamas war has topped 66,000 Palestinians, Gaza's health ministry said Sunday. In Monday's White House meeting, Trump is expected to share a new proposal for ending the conflict. "We're working on it," Netanyahu told Fox News Sunday's The Sunday Briefing. "It's not been finalized yet, but we're working with President Trump's team, actually as we speak, and I hope we can make it go." Arab officials briefed on the plan say the 21-point proposal calls for an immediate ceasefire, the release of all hostages held by Hamas within 48 hours, and a gradual withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza. The officials spoke on condition of anonymity because the proposal has not been formally announced. Netanyahu has vowed to continue fighting until Hamas, whose October 7, 2023 attack triggered the war, is destroyed. But he repeated an offer to allow Hamas operatives to leave Gaza as part of a deal ending the conflict. "If they finish the war, release all the hostages, we let them out," he said. Trump has so far stood behind Israel, but the U.S. leader has shown signs of impatience lately, particularly after Israel struck the headquarters of the Hamas political leadership in Doha, Qatar, earlier this month. Ceasefire talks have stalled since, despite growing international and domestic protest. Key Western allies have joined a list of countries recognizing a Palestinian state over Israeli objections. The European Union is considering sanctions, and there are growing moves for a sports and cultural boycott against Israel. A defiant Netanyahu told fellow world leaders Friday at the UN General Assembly that his nation must finish the job against Hamas in Gaza, where 48 hostages are still held captive, around 20 of them believed to be alive. Trump's ceasefire proposal would include the release of all hostages within 48 hours and a gradual withdrawal of Israeli forces from the Palestinian enclave, according to three Arab officials briefed on the plan. The officials spoke on condition of anonymity.
Denmark says more drones seen at armed forces location in country. This is Dateline Copenhagen, Denmark. Denmark's defense ministry said Sunday that it had again observed drones at several of its armed forces locations overnight, a day after the NATO alliance announced that it would enhance its vigilance in the Baltic Sea region. The minister said in a statement that it had several capacities deployed after drone sightings from Saturday into Sunday night. It didn't offer any further details about the specifics of the deployment, the number of drones, or locations. This is the latest unexplained drone activity after several sightings, including over five Danish airports last week, raising concerns about security in Northern Europe amid suspected growing Russian aggression. After a NATO meeting in Riga, Latvia, on Saturday, Colonel Martin O'Donnell, the Supreme Headquarters Allied Powers Europe spokesperson, announced that "we will conduct even more enhanced vigilance with new multi-domain assets in the Baltic Sea region, which includes Denmark under Baltic Sentry." He also said that NATO leaders were in constant contact with Danish officials after the drone sighting. As Denmark gears up for the upcoming European Union summit in Copenhagen, the Danish transportation minister said Sunday that all civilian drone flying in Danish airspace will be prohibited from Monday to Friday to remove the risk that enemy drones can be confused with legal drones and vice versa. We cannot accept that foreign drones create uncertainty and disturbance in society, as we have experienced recently. At the same time, Denmark will host EU leaders in the coming week where we will have extra focus on security. Danish Transportation Minister Thomas Danielsen said in a statement, a violation of the prohibition can result in a fine or imprisonment for up to 2 years. The prohibition does not apply to military drone flights, drones used by state aviation, including police, and emergency drone operations, as well as municipal and regional emergency and health-related drone operations.
Well, that concludes the news from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette for Monday, September 29th. Well, we will now take a short break, and when we return, we'll read the obituaries and features from the Living section.